Welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts. And of course, we always close this segment with a prayer and a prayer of intercession. But this segment also is known as The Word is the Way to Life. And who is the Word? It's Jesus Christ. And He brings all kinds of things, how to live in this world, but then He gives us a way to have eternal life. It's a very, very wonderful promise that God has given to us. But I've been looking and started a series quite a while ago now, and we're all the way up to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Now, Solomon was known as the richest man in the world, and he was also known as one who had all wisdom. Because he asked God, God's asking, what all do you want me to give you, Solomon? He says, I want wisdom. So he got wisdom, but then he was also able to amass great fortunes because of the wisdom. So Solomon is somebody that I think it's very important to look at as we think about our life here on this earth. He gives us an awful lot of insight and wisdom about the frustration of life here on this earth. So let's look at Solomon chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. This is what he said, New Living Translation. Again, I observed all the oppression that takes place in our world. I saw the tears of the oppressed, with no one to comfort them. The oppressors have great power and the victims are helpless. So I concluded that the dead are better off than the living. He's amazing. And most fortunate of all are those who were never born. Think about that. He says it really point blank, doesn't he? I continue. For they have never seen all the evil that is done in our world. Then I observed that most people are motivated to success by their envy of their neighbors. But this too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Foolish people refuse to work and almost starve. They feel it better to be lazy and barely survive than to work hard, especially in the long run. Everything is just so futile. Picking it back up at verse 7, he said, I observe yet another example of meaningless in this world. This is the case of a man who is all alone without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. Well, you might understand now after reading some of that why Solomon is somebody that we can pay attention to, because he lays out life. Now, eventually, or gradually, as we look at all these chapters up to the end of the book, I think you'll see the connections of the teacher's discord as it becomes very clear. But today, passages links what he has said about injustice and human toil, and suggests why so many find toil so burdensome. Well, burdensome meaning work. You know, they say that if you find something that you enjoy to do, you'll never work a day in your life, and that's so true. But the teacher takes up the theme of injustice from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 16, when he said, I saw the tears of the oppressed. And now we look at verse 1 in chapter 4. We're reminded of examples like Ahab's illegal confiscation of Naboth's vineyard in 1 Kings, and Amos' attack on the rich, who trampled down the poor in Amos chapter 2. And also the societies today where officials accept bribes and governments wield power without a sense of responsibility towards their citizens. So when he being Solomon, sees this thing, the teacher says he feels sick at heart. Where are the roots of all this injustice? In verse 4 suggests the answer. He said, people are driven by envy. We see ourselves in competition, struggling against our fellow humans. in order to possess this world's goods. But in this struggle, we're tempted to cut corners, to trample down others, and to use others as pawns in our plan. But envy doesn't go away when it is fed. Rather, it becomes yet more insatiable. And there's an antidote there that lies elsewhere. We have to start telling ourselves, I have enough. Now, I'm not going to work anymore. Above all, I won't do wrong in order to get more. Of course, you can't give up altogether on anything, because complete idleness is not the answer. That's the point in verse 5. If you are idle, who do you hurt? Yourself. You must be responsible, and you must provide for yourself and your family. But in verse 6, it kind of balances out verse 5, where it says, you cannot be idle, but when you have enough, rest. Be content in your handful, and experience the tranquility of the labor that you do. Now, you may miss out sometimes by ignoring the envy's voice, but you will also spare yourself much misery. So let's look at the point in verses 7 and 8. They're the thumbnail sketch of a lonely striver. Envy and greed have consumed this person, and he doesn't enjoy what he has because he's always looking for more. He senses that this is pointless, that he's only making himself miserable. But like many modern-day achievers, or overachievers, if you would, he's been toiling for so long that he doesn't know how to stop. Indeed, he is driven by fear of what he will miss out if he relaxes his efforts. What does he see that is beyond a certain point, more or less? Well, Solomon's term, he said this is futile. It's a miserable business, so to speak. And there's a Hebrew phrase that's found in chapter 1, verse 13, which was translated heavy burden. And Ecclesiastes 4:8 casts a light back on that verse in chapter 1, verse 13. He says that other humans end up embroiled in unhappy businesses through their own bad choices. Not because God has arbitrarily intervened and engineered a bad outcome. Yeah, our choices do have consequences, don't they? And that's how God made the world. But we don't like the consequences. What we ought to do is common word that we talk about a lot around here on The Word is the Way to Life. We should repent rather than blame God. You know, there's a lot of people that get stuck in a job that they don't like or anything, but they just do it and do it and do it. But it's an unhappy business, and they become miserable. I'm not saying you should go and quit your job and all that, but look to some things that you can do to make this life, I don't know, it needs to be enjoyable. I think my own personal experience, this is the think about the scriptures that we read today, and in light of examine your own motives in this world. And how much of what you do, both in your place of work and in your involvement, or even in the church, is driven by envy of others. Now, we know that our economic system is based on competition, and competition is good, but it's certainly not based on envy, is it? So how much is enough? If you think that you have enough, or you have more than enough, what should you do with your response in that, in the light of what we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 5 and 6? And you can also find it over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. But as I close, let's look at verse 4 and 5 again. This is the teacher, and what he's saying. He said, then I observed that most people are motivated to success by their envy of their neighbors. But this too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. I think that's his favorite thing. I like that. Chasing the wind. Foolish people refuse to work and almost starve. They feel It is better to be lazy and barely to survive than to work hard, especially when in the long run everything seems so futile. Well, you know, it's almost like he is living in our day and time and looking around at some of the things. And I think that's what's so interesting about the Word of God and how Solomon lays out all this. So I hope and pray that you're enjoying this little walk through the book of Ecclesiastes as we are in chapter 4. We finished 1 through 8. And next week, if you want to read ahead a little bit, it's verses 9 through 16. But we always close this segment with a prayer of agreement, prayer of intercession. And you've heard me say many times, you don't need a preacher to pray for you or with you, although we're welcome and we like to do that. We like to help you pray. But most important thing is to learn to talk to God yourself. That's prayer. Just talk to God. He will listen. And it's just like having a conversation with anybody. And just pour your heart out. Jesus said to go into your prayer closet. So you can just pour your heart out. Because guess what? God knows everything about you anyhow. So if you go in your prayer closet or just be alone with God, you can talk to Him just like a friend or anybody else and just pour. And you got some problems, you're mad at God, that's okay too. You can do that. So you can see all the people that we continue to keep on our prayer list, and that's on the little tab there that says the slides right by Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers, and you'll see all of them. So we do come into a prayer of agreement with and for them. But we close this segment with the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.